Hi, folks. Welcome to A Different Direction. We cover stories of the strange, document the weird, stuff like that. I'm Dave.
I'm Diana.
And today, we're talking about episode 21 of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., Ned Zedd.
Eye roll. I just did it, and then no one could see it.
Yeah, yeah. I moved like you were going to say a thing, and then you just rolled your eyes, and I was like, I don't know how to react to that on a podcast. So... before we get into the episode, reminder that you can tweet at us at Diff Direction Pod, or you can email us at differentdirection@tgifrk.com. We actually don't have any messages from the freaks on the message board this week, so we'll get right into it. Writers on this episode: Jeffrey Bohm, who
I know that name.
Yeah,
from the show.
Yes, correct. Because he created the show, but other than the pilot, he actually hasn't had a written by credit before now. Carlton Cuse has had a couple, but Jeffrey Bohm has not had one before this episode. I feel like I must have mentioned this during the pilot, but I just want to mention he also wrote the screenplays for Lethal Weapon 1, 2, and 3, The Lost Boys, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, The Phantom, and then after The Phantom, nothing until like Lego Indiana Jones in 2008, like 15 years later.
Is that a movie or a show or something?
It was a movie.
Lego Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
How did they make that character grab that heart out? How's that work in Lego? How do they make a Lego heart?
I get how you could make a Lego heart. I don't know how you get one out of a Lego chest.
I mean, Playmobil, sure.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that what that's called?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But anyways.
I don't know how that's easier, but yeah, I'm amused anyway.
It's just because they look more like people.
Oh, okay. I got
you. It's like a Funko Pop compared to a Barbie doll.
Okay, fair, fair.
Not that Barbie really looks real either.
Right.
But more real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the most realist doll is. Real doll.
I was going to say that, and then I was like, I'm not going to say that. Hi, folks. This is Dave in the future editing this, and that's my sound to signify that I'm cutting in to say a thing. When I was taking my notes, I misread the credits about Jeffrey Bohm. He actually passed away in the year 2000, and the Lego Indiana Jones writing credits were just because he wrote the original screenplay that those games are based on. Also, it's a video game. I got a lot of things wrong here, but I felt like some of the things that we were saying were amusing enough that it was worth keeping in. So, that's what's going on there. Okay, back to the episode. Anyway, moving on. The director on this episode is Brian Spicer. Who also, interestingly, directed the pilot and no episodes since.
Uh-huh. No episodes of any show.
No episodes of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. He directed a lot of episodes of Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
What is that?
It was like a...
Isn't that a musician?
No, it was a TV show with the guy... I can't even think of his name. The only thing I can think of is he was the kind of nerdy guy, Harold from The Stand. I don't know. Do you remember? He was the guy who was really into Molly Ringwald and she wasn't into him. And so he got into motorcycles and just beat.
So not the one that was deaf.
No.
And not the one that was on Coach.
No. The one who was like.
Wait, that's not The Stand. Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. The one who was like her friend from school who was like into her but she wasn't into him and then
do
got
not
all jealous of Gary Sinise.
I don't remember because for some reason in my mind The Stand starts becoming Children of the Corn, even though we watched that for the like first time ever not too long ago, but yeah. I've seen The Stand forever ago, but they have like a similar feel to them because it's like abandoned town,
yeah,
and creepy things, mm-hmm. and also same author.
Well,
I think.
Yes. little known author named Stephen King. Yeah, he's done a couple of things.
I wasn't making that claim. I just don't care about Stephen King as much as you do. Sorry, Stephen. He's like basically the dad of Maine, so
accurate.
They're doing the Queen's Jubilee there. That's who would be there.
It's very true. Now, I
and that person that got lost on the mountain.
I have a feeling he's not around to be doing things.
It'll be the new Lost on a Mountain person.
Very possibly. Anyway, he also directed the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
In what year?
The 90s one. I don't know.
There's probably more than one.
I'm saying there was one in the 90s that was called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. And that's the one that he did. And also Mikhail's Navy with, important for us as podcasters, starring Kelsey Grammer and Bruce Campbell.
What?
Yeah. Yep.
What?
Yes. Correct. Yep. That's it. He also directed a little one episode of The Lone Gunman.
What?
Or more than one.
Wait, they met?
Yeah.
They're in a show together? I can't imagine.
It was a movie version of the show Mikhail's Navy. Yeah.
This seems like the Jay Leno and Pat Morita movie.
I've never seen Mikhail's Navy, but it's one of those like comedies from those mid-90s comedies that even I, as like a young boy, looked at and went like, nah, that's real dumb. That looks real dumb.
I want to see it now. You didn't tell. Wow. Wow. That's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, it might have been. Maybe it's funnier than I expect. I don't think that's true. It might be. I don't know. I don't want to make any assumptions. It might be, you know, a sleeper. Who knows? Might be a dark horse. In, you know.
Nay.
Anyway, that's what I got for the these opening bits. So, do you have any content warnings on this one?
No.
Okay. I don't really have any either. All right, so time to spoil it. So I guess I'll do the recap, unless you want to. Always leaving it open for you to do if you want to.
If I do a recap, it would be totally made up.
To be fair, we did watch the episode a few days ago because of weird timing things. So I probably have forgotten details here, but I got my recap written from a few days ago. So hopefully it's more accurate than my memory.
Yeah, I'm going to listen. I'm going to actually listen to it this time.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Here goes. Remember the Princess Bride? We're doing that, but it's a random kid and the cop from Wayne's World instead of Fred Savage and Peter Falk. So Frankie and his dad are supposed to go fishing tomorrow, but Frankie's reading a little comic or just a dime store novel? We only ever see the front where
it says on it. It says on it.
Okay. So what does it say? Because I don't remember.
I don't remember what it says.
I don't know. He's reading The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. His dad ends up staying up to read with him for a bit, which starts way back in the pilot. The first time we see Briscoe was the thing with the cheating at cards, but he didn't cheat, but they were going to hang him. We just watched that scene again. Remember that scene that this person clearly made, like wrote, like this writer wrote and this director directed? They just put it in again.
We don't have any more footage. Re-show the stuff we did before.
Yeah.
I think this is when they found out they were going to be canceled.
Maybe. The one thing this is good for is it sets up the fact that this thing they're reading is set near the start of the show before Briscoe and Buller are partners. It's basically saying like, hey, this is at the beginning. It's before all of this. So this helps.
Yeah,
you know.
Back before the show was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that. Still trying to forget.
Anyway, after that, we find out about Ned Zedd, a member of Bly's gang who was a bank robber.
Not a zombie at all.
Not a zombie at all. Member of Bly's gang, who is a little guy with a Napoleon complex, is Robin Banks. Briscoe almost stops him, but he gets away by throwing a cigar in a hay wagon full of dynamite, and Briscoe has to save the day, and Ned's able to get away. Another callback to the pilot, we see the bank robber baron, Ethan Emerson, who's gonna open a new bank, and obviously he needs to be there when it opens to take the first deposit, even though Ned Zedd's robbing all the banks, and if we've got a new bank, it's obviously gonna get robbed, but he's like, they would never, got all this security, I gotta go there anyway, and obviously Ned Zedd's gonna rob the bank. But yeah, Emerson doesn't believe it. If Ned's gonna rob the place, obviously Briscoe's gonna go there. Well, Briscoe goes there, and ends up in a hotel room with Bowler. Just randomly rents a room Bowler, makes Bowler sleep on a tiny bed, and then doesn't end up using the bed because he ends up spending the night with the hotel manager, Francis, who he just used to be engaged to. Another old fling is Francis, and that's who he's going to be with in this episode. We also in that time meet Frenchie Bearpaw. He's French. You know that because of the X in his name. Not because his name is Frenchie, but because Bear Paw with an X. When he finds out about Briscoe, he gets a real suspicious look, and we find out later that that's because he hates Briscoe's dad, because Briscoe's dad is the reason that he's missing a hand, and in its place is a bear paw. He's Frenchie Bear Paw. He got an actual bear paw.
Delicious! That's a bear claw. Never mind.
I still like it. We also see Ned working with a blacksmith trying to get something finished. No way to know what, unless you have ever looked at the thumbnail for this episode on IMDb, and then you obviously know what the blacksmith is making way ahead of time. He goes from the blacksmith to the gunsmith, who's also making something. What could it be? Probably the other thing in the IMDb thumbnail, but we'll get there. Back to the hotel, Briscoe's talking to Francis when Frenchie rushes in and is like, oh, I heard a guy. He was like, I'm going to rob a bank. I'm staying at this sawmill. I was so scared and I ran away. But I'll lead you to him. Let's go to this sawmill and you can get this bank robber. And you're going to be so happy to find these bank robbers. And they go to this sawmill and he immediately knocks him out and ties him to a log. So he gets, you know, classic villain stuff. He's going to get him. He's going to cut him right in half. But like all villains on this show, he knowing that that's going to happen, he and Ned's gang and everybody, they just leave. He'll die eventually. I don't need to be here for it. I've gotten so bent on revenge, but I don't need to like see it happen. Gross. Ugh. Just it'll happen over there somewhere. Also, the whole reason Bowler's in town is not looking for Ned Zedd, but to help Francis bring the payroll, a giant pile of cash from the hotel to the bank.
Don't you have a bag? Bank robbers have a bag.
I know.
Like, maybe because they put them in the vault.
Yeah, she just takes it out of the vault and just hands it to him in a giant armful. Like, it's very funny. I will say, I do enjoy this, but like, yeah. Anyway, so he's got to bring this to the bank. And just as Briscoe gets away from, you know, the sawmill, he runs into Bowler, who's being chased by apparently every desperado in the area. Just tons and tons of bandits chasing him down for this payroll. He'll get away eventually, though, so it's fine. Briscoe can go get Ned Zedd. It's not NBD. He goes to the bank where he knows Ned Zedd's gonna go. Meanwhile, Ned Zedd's at the blacksmith getting put into his Iron Man Mark I suit. I mean, handed his machine gun. Or machinery gun. Yeah, he was... The blacksmith just made him an Iron Man suit. You know. So he goes to rob the bank. Briscoe tries to warn everyone to get out, but it's too late. Ned Zedd's there. But they manage to escape into the safe, where they all get stuck. But now there's nobody out there to give Ned any money, so he just, like, leaves and robs Bowler instead. Comet lets them out of the safe, and then they go and chase Ned down, and it's really easy to catch him because Ned can't get out of his suit without the help of the blacksmith, so the horses can't carry him very fast, and so Briscoe fights him off, like, fights Iron Man with his fists, and wins because Iron Man's too heavy.
Too much weight.
Day is saved, and now it's time to go get together with Francis, who definitely wants to, like, move with Briscoe back to New York and have a long life with him. Except, nah, now she's into this soldier guy who came to get Ned Zed. The end. Oh, and Bowler and Briscoe are friends for a bit. Even though it's before, they would have been friends. But now they're friends for a bit, enough to ride down a hill, I guess. Back to the hotel with Frankie and his dad, who are reading this story in the book. They're at a hotel, and the doors are rattling. It's like, oh no, there might be some criminals. But, it's Briscoe and Bowler. They're at the wrong room. Ha, silly. Credits.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. That's it.
Every time.
I do that every time?
Yeah, and in fact, I seem surprised when I bring up every time that you do it every time.
We don't do the podcast enough. It's been 17 years.
It has. It's been a weird month for recording.
But I'll keep making that joke. You're welcome. And one, I want to bring up, did you call him Rent-A-Room Bowler?
No, I said he rents a room with Bowler. I didn't call him Rent-A-Room Bowler.
Like, I was like, what a nickname for him.
That Bowler, always renting rooms.
That's more like Briscoe.
He's like the one person who actually bought a place and definitely doesn't rent as often as others in the show.
As but others? Who are the others?
Ethan Rom.
Ben.
Ben.
Smoke Monster. Burrito. Hot Air Balloon. What? The French Lady.
You stopped naming all this a long time
Desmond.
Ago.
Desmond.
Okay.
Carlton.
What?
Jeff.
Okay.
Okay. The like, father talking to the son that's all like, get tired, son. Get tired.
That's how it works. Just get tired. Yeah, what about him?
I don't know. Just that he said get tired. And I do like that the town's called Mishap.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, before we get too far into it, I do want to say...
Too far? That's like...
No. I wanted to talk about specifically about the dad and the son reading this story.
Okay. Because I think room, talking about Red Room Bowler.
Yeah. Because I think before, like, I think it's very important to talk about an aspect of this before we talk about the rest of the episode. Because this episode's kind of weird, right? Like, and not in the way that the show is just generally weird. It's weird for this show. But I realized something, which is that, like, it's weird because, like, it's in a world where Briscoe and Bowler are real people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a, you know, kind of dime. It's like a dime store novel version of their stories, which means everything that's like really ridiculous in it and like over the top, more so than the show normally is.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's what in this world would pass for over-the-top adventure story in a dime store novel.
Where there's, like, a future man?
Yeah. Like, in a world where there are actual tanks.
And actual future men.
And actual future men with actual orb magic. This is over-the-top adventure story that a kid would be reading.
We've already seen that this metal suit is possible in the when all the bounty hunters meet up.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, this feels like the more cartoonish version.
Okay, well, yeah, they might be reading it, but it's based on true fact, Dave.
True. I guess my thing is more like Frenchie Bearpaw.
Like, is this fact or fiction? Only you can tell. And I would say, I can tell, and it's fact.
Yeah.
Like, why even ask that question? So silly.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's interesting because it's like everything that's like really weird, I can just go like, yeah, because this is fiction in this world.
There's nothing weird about this episode except that Socrates is there.
That's true. There's very little reason for Socrates to be in this episode.
Socrates should not be around. Just, like, go away.
Yeah. Especially because this is at a time when he wasn't going with Briscoe to things. Like, this early in the story, he hadn't, like, he doesn't go away from away from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't absolutely have to, he doesn't leave there. And we see him leave it twice, and it's like he wouldn't have gone there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't gone after his sister yet. He hadn't gone to try and help Briscoe yet. He hadn't done any of the things where he intentionally leaves.
No, probably because he's actually John Bly.
Possibly. Well, he's got to stay back and like try and help use that weird thing from the pilot to like make the orb bullet.
Yeah, probably.
That he'll then forget about. By the way, Ned Zedd.
Yeah.
This actor.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if I've seen this guy in anything.
Yeah.
And I've only seen him in one thing, and I definitely didn't recognize him. He's in Back to the Future 1 and 2. Any guess who he might play in that?
Thug number 1.
You're not far off. 3D?
He's the shark.
No, he's Biff's, like, sidekick with the 3D glasses.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Well, he's always hiding his identity with those glasses, so yeah. How could you? Oh, wait, is that character wearing 3D glasses in both 1 and 2?
Yeah.
But they would have been different. Oh my gosh, that's actually really clever.
Yeah, well, I mean,
actually,
no, it's when they go when he goes back to the 50s again to get the almanac back, you see him again.
Oh, I thought you meant like the Biff that beats him up in the like place where some of the like Max Headroom Pepsi.
Oh.
Was it Pepsi? Or Coke?
It was
You should
Pepsi,
know.
Because it's a Pepsi free is what he orders. Because it's a he goes back in
What's
the first
a Pepsi
one.
Pepsi free?
It was a thing you could get. It was like with no sugar.
Oh, isn't that what is that called now?
Probably just like a Diet Pepsi.
No, because it's different because you know how they have Diet Coke, but then they have Coke Zero.
Yeah, pretty much the only difference between Diet Coke and Coke Zero is the marketing.
They taste different, though.
Hold
I
on.
Think. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
I don't know anything about that.
So, there is one. It's like Pepsi Zero Sugar is a thing, and it's in a black can.
Okay. So, it's a bad guy?
Hold on, I'll explain.
It's for cool and slick. Hipsters.
Yeah, so Diet Pepsi and Pepsi Zero Sugar are two different products that are both just Pepsi without sugar. They both have zero sugar. The difference is that
one has like stevia.
The main difference is one has a black can because it's for men. So do you remember? Okay, there was a whole weird thing. Like there was a while back, there was like this ad for like the Diet Dr. Pepper or Dr. Pepper Zero or whatever, and It was like this masculine man in like a Jeep and he's riding through the jungle and he's like, this Dr. Pepper Zero, it's the Dr. Pepper for men, it's bad. And it was like this whole like over the top, hold on, I know the face you're making is the correct one, it's the one everybody was making, but just wait,
it was to make fun
it was
of
to
it.
Make fun of the fact that both Coke and Pepsi had put out these like hyper masculine versions of their diet Coke and Diet Pepsi, and the only difference was like it's in a black can. So they tried to go over the top with it, but the problem is most of the like public doesn't realize that there is this attempt to just do a super masculine version of those things. So it just looked like Dr. Pepper sucks. And what they were satirizing this other thing, but like marketing people know that. General people didn't know that, so they thought it was just...
Excuse you, they definitely know that. We overheard that conversation once at Target where that person was shopping with his friend and was like, oh, I gotta get some dude wipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you aren't embarrassed to say that to your friend? I would be like, I'll meet you over there in cereal while I go get my embarrassing product that I hope you don't realize is in my basket.
Right. Yeah.
Like.
But that's the thing. He clearly didn't think that was weird, because if he did, he would just get like normal wipes that you didn't pay extra for the black packaging.
I know. He's all in the dude stuff.
Right. So I'm saying like.
He was in the Jeep in Target driving it around.
But yeah, anyway, so that was the whole thing. Like, the marketing people for that Dr. Pepper thought everybody knew.
Okay, this has... Why are we talking? I don't know how we got
Pepsi
here.
Pepsi Free, Back to the Future,
okay.
Ned Zed. Okay, we're back.
What do you have to say about this father and son? Because I can say I don't care, is what I have to say. I'm sorry, I don't have anything good to say about this episode, perhaps.
I actually... So first of all...
So you should...
I really liked about this, the main thing I was saying about this dad was just that, like, I think the scene, that stuff is important, is because it frames the fact that, like, this is the dime store novel version of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. This is not what Briscoe and Buller are actually doing. This is the dime store novel version of it.
Okay.
Which I just think is an interesting thing to do. It's not. Even whether it happened, any of it happened or not.
They've already done that.
Have they?
I don't know.
I know there was the one like mail order bride who was like into those. So there was like her interpretation, but we hadn't seen an episode that what we were watching was.
I didn't like that we saw a like clip from. An episode.
Yeah.
I don't.
Lazy. Yeah, I didn't like that.
And that happened all the time. That was like every show did that. Like, I swear the Golden Girls did it all the time.
Those were clip shows. That was the thing. I was like, is this going to be a clip show? And it's not. It's a normal episode plus one clip. And I was like.
No, I thought they had one other one in here.
I don't think so.
So were they saying that thing was made up?
No, I think that's what that is that one scene is the one that was accurate.
No, I think the thing is that all the stuff that's in those novels is real.
I mean, maybe what that's saying is that, like, maybe that did happen, maybe it didn't, it's hard to say. But the one thing I did like about it is that the dad being like, you need to stop reading and go to bed, and the kid's like... But I'm just reading the opening of this thing where, like, Briscoe's going to be, like, hung for cheating at cards, which, by the way, the word is hanged. Hate this show is really bad about that. They say the word hung all the time, and what they mean is hanged.
That always confused me.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it should be hung, but it's not because. Yeah.
It's a very specific word. When you use hung, it means just sort of like hanging something up. When it's hanged only when. Killing someone with a noose.
Well, it's confusing. Shouldn't it be called Hanged Man? A kind of grim game that I played a lot as a child.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's play that Hangman game where we kill someone if you don't get the word right.
Yep. But the one thing I really liked in that scene with the dad, like at the start, when he's like, he's gonna be, you know, hung for cheating at cards, and the dad who was trying to get the kid to go to bed was suddenly like, what? Briscoe wouldn't cheat at cards, and now he wants to read it
because he's just Briscoe like, 100% cheats at cards.
We literally saw an entire scene where he and another person were both like cheating over and over and over again.
Maybe
at cards.
They decided to make him like really good, like good.
Maybe.
A good goody yeah. good.
Yeah, but I just really like
boring.
Fair.
You need more, because that's just not, you can be a good person, but you can cheat at cards. Wait.
Can you?
I'm not saying yes, because Briscoe's a good person.
Okay, but pretty rare when cheating at cards is part of your goodness.
I'm not saying that's part right. of his goodness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fair.
He's also doing pranks, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay. He also, like, shoots people.
Does he?
He How does frequently? In that smoky room, doesn't he?
He does, to save a kid.
And then he shoots Bly right to the orb with a tornado bullet.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's the thing. He never... We're 21 episodes in, we've still never seen him shoot anyone to death. We've only seen him shoot smoke and someone died. We didn't even see that person die. We saw Bly get orb stabbed into a pile of CGI ash, but every other time he just shoots guns out of people's hands.
Okay, can we stop talking about this father and son?
Sure. Yeah.
Also, the mushy stuff is definitely a reference to Princess Bride.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know that part. Excuse you.
I don't even know how much of that would even be in here and how much it would have just actually just cut away.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's strange they skip it.
Yeah.
And those weren't even invented yet. And then...
Uh-huh.
But I do like it's the town of, like, you know, mishap.
Mm-hmm.
And then the TNT wagon thing was amusing because you knew that Briscoe didn't just get blown up.
Right. I mean, obviously, but yes.
And that was very amusing.
Yeah. I liked it because it was like, he rides this wagon off that's, like, on fire and has all this dynamite in it.
And then disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this isn't the thing I was talking about before, but I also saw on IMDb that you can't blow up dynamite like that. You need a fuse and a blasting cap.
What's a blasting cap?
It's the thing that goes on the end of the dynamite that the fuse goes into. If you don't have those, it won't blow up. It would just burn like it's firewood. Like, you can't, like, a wagon on fire with dynamite in it wouldn't explode.
But wouldn't the wicks all catch fire?
But there are no wicks on them yet. There are no fuses yet. You put those on at the end, like, when you're getting ready to blow it up. So this wouldn't blow up at all. But anyway, but still, I did enjoy it.
Whoever, left that fact is not fun. That was True. Not a fun fact. It really rained on the parade that is Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah, this is much more fun with the idea that it would explode. And then he wrote it just around the corner, somehow managed to escape with just some, like, Looney Tunes soot, like, blast on his face. But while the...
Isn't his hair, like, all fun?
His hair is very messy. His hat's on fire on the ground.
Oh, yeah. And that's why and Socrates thinks...
Yeah.
He didn't make it.
Yeah, because there's just a blackened crater in the middle of the street. He had about the same level of, like, chance of survival as Batman at the end of the last, at the end of the Dark Knight series. Anyone who watches it understands.
At one point, I put werewolf? Question mark.
Is this a Frenchie? Or is it some other person?
It's not about anyone.
Okay.
I think there's a wolf cry that happens.
Oh.
And that's... So the bank is actually in Lumberville?
Yes.
So, Mishap is the one town he was riding to where he didn't get Ned's head.
Yes.
It pains me to say it. I want there to be zombies so bad. I'm sorry.
Which is funny because, like, the only
association...
I would have
never even thought about that without, Shaun of the Dead. But
right.
That is just part of me now. Mm-hmm. I've just accepted that that is...
That you associate Zed with zombies.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, in fact, the only thing I associate with Zed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when he gets this room and there's no rooms and it has... Oh, yeah, there's, like, room 7, one bed, no locks. How there's, like, no locks on the door.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up with that?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's hard to build a lock. Sometimes a lock gets broke and you're just like, well, you get this room, but it won't have a lock.
And then... Why? I like how in the person, like, giving him the room is like, it has one comfortable bed.
Uh-huh.
And Briscoe gets it. Why? Bowler's already in it. That's just not how it works.
So my assumption in this is that
Bowler didn't pay for the room?
Well, Bowler was told, essentially, like, we've got this one room. It's got a comfy bed and a crappy bed. You can get the crappy bed for this price or the nice bed for this price.
Who's gonna hold you accountable?
The person who comes in later paying $5.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm gonna fight you in a duel because I want my comfy bed.
Yeah, but then the hotel, you could just go to the desk and then the hotel will be like, you gotta get out.
Yeah. If you're gonna like tattle instead of being the duel.
I mean, yeah, I would. I'd just be like,
Well, then you're dead because I've already shot you on the way to go to tell the, like, hotel person.
I'd be like, yeah, no, I'll totally duel you. Let me go get my gun. I left my gun. It's at the desk. I checked it.
You left in your Volkswagen?
Yeah.
I don't have things to say about this episode. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find, like, I don't trust Francis at all.
Yeah, I absolutely thought Francis was going to turn out to not be okay.
But then they just turn out to be, like, not matter really at all.
Yeah, it literally just, she's just there to be the but love think, interest for this episode.
I guess, but it also takes some heat away from Frenchie Bearpaw, who I thought was just going to be a fun character. I didn't realize that he was going to be a villain for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize that he was going to have a real Bearpaw.
I mean,
of course he was going to have a real Bearpaw, but also, right. I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. What?
I just feel like this is a very forced episode. It's fun. It's still fun.
Yeah. It definitely misses in a way compared to... The thing is, like, the last episode that we saw was so much that, like, it's hard to follow up all of that with this episode where the wildest thing that happens is... A guy lost a hand, and now he uses a taxidermy bear paw in its place.
Yeah,
like,
from Jacques.
Right.
Actually, we don't know if it.
I don't know
probably,
if it is from
it's
Jacques.
Not from Jacques.
Because yeah, Jacques is like has like light brown hair, and this is dark, like black bear paw.
I do have to say that this has one of the scariest things in it is bear traps.
Uh huh.
And those kind of animal traps that. I don't know how Elmer Fudd was always walking into these, because I don't think they should have made it.
Yeah.
So I find that to be very scary, the, like bear traps, and that part's terrifying and not funny at all.
I did like, the one thing I did like with the bear traps is how, like, when they were approaching the cabin and, like, Comet noticed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Francis is like, Comet's amazing. How's he avoiding these? And Briscoe's like, fear. Yeah. That's a solid answer. That's a good reason why he'd be able to avoid it. That's scary. I mean, granted, he would have to be intelligent to even recognize them to be afraid of them. But
I mean, horses can sense snakes from miles away. I don't think that's a true fact about horses.
That is a true fact that I learned from Red Dead Redemption, is that being anywhere near a snake means your horse will buck you off and run away.
Yeah, only if your horse is a lemon horse.
By the way, another role that I saw that Ned Zedd, the actor playing Ned Zedd from, is in Red Dead Redemption 2. One of the people from the, like, sort of series of missions where you have to, like, collect from your, like, loan shark person in your group. You have to, like, collect things. One of those people is voiced by this guy.
Interesting.
Who also voiced a character in Red Dead Revolver, but not Red Dead Redemption 1. Like, not the original.
Yeah. Do you mean, like, 2.5? Red Dead 2, 1, 2.
What an extremely niche joke.
Whatever. Everything is extremely niche jokes.
I know.
Get on our level.
Agreed.
When Briscoe's like on the log going to be sawed in half, I feel like I looked away and missed his escape somehow. I think he, pulls the cord with his mouth.
Yeah, so there's, like, these wooden handles hanging from, like, hanging above the thing. And this is sort of weird where it's, like, one of those things where you're, like, I guess that handle does something to stop the blade, or stop the conveyor belt thing.
Wouldn't it make sense to be where it is, right?
No, I can see it. It's in the area where you're, like, working with it, but, like, it's just, like, you would have to know that. Otherwise, you're just, like, why is he, like, glomming onto this weird wooden thing, handle hanging from? Like, I don't know that that does that. So...
Well, I mean, it's Briscoe, and he's a Harvard man.
Right. I what I mean is, like, the framing of the scene is weird because it's like there's nothing establishing that that's the thing that does the thing.
Yeah, this is the laziest episode to me.
That's definitely, like,
it doesn't, it almost, like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But again, I think you're right. I think you're right about this episode, mm-hmm. that it's all just based on what this novel is.
Yeah.
And so it's all tropey.
Right.
And so the writers could leave the office early.
Yeah.
And not, I don't know what this ep is. I don't want to, like.
I mean, look, I really liked aspects of this episode. But the fact is, like, this wasn't the best episode.
Well, I do like the title, you know, like, when all is Zedd and done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he, like, does make that joke about being half the man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have been all sawed in half.
Right.
I do like, you know, Ned Zedd's robo suit.
Right.
And machinery gun.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just feel like everything is just really cut and dry in here. So there's not a lot to say, but there are funny moments in it. Like, it's very funny when they go into the vault and they're like, who has a key? And everyone that has a key is in the vault right. or like knows the combinations right, in the right. vault.
And I loved how they got out.
Yeah, because you think it's Bowler.
Right,
because
they even think it's Bowler. They're like, it's Bowler, and they
and
say
then
the
it
combination.
Doesn't work the first time, and then Bowler, in quotes, does it again, and then it's Comet,
right.
and it's really funny.
Right.
And they're like,
especially,
wow.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, the thing where, like, the robber baron guy's like, wow, what an amazing horse, and Briscoe's just like, not that amazing. It took him 2 tries.
I know.
Like, which is weird because it's like, that's another reason why I think the fact that it's a dime store novel version of it mm-hmm. is important, is because, like, that's twice that I feel like Briscoe's sort of being almost mean and dismissive of Comet's abilities, where I'm like, I don't think you would have said that.
I agree. I agree that Briscoe feels a little different in this episode.
Yeah. I just don't think he would have said that about Comet. He would have been like,
Thanks.
Yeah. Correct. Comet rules.
Best horse ever. Like, if horses got cool tattoos, I think Comet would go get one.
But it would be really meaningful.
No. It would just be like a butterfly. Oh, it'd be like My Little Pony. It would be a green apple.
I was gonna say, would it be a mark? It would. Oh yeah, it would be like his mark or whatever. Isn't that what it's called?
I don't know. Oh, like on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the little haunch. Yeah, it would be a little green apple. Loves a green apple.
And then a full sleeve down the front leg. Like the front, like one leg.
I enjoy the idea of a full sleeve on a horse. The problem is that a horse cannot ask for this, so I'm not.
Comet can.
Yes, it Comet. I'm saying,
in this scenario, this is a these are decisions Comet is making.
It's still like cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
Even though Comet's never seen one.
Why do you assume that? There's cherry blossoms in some cherry blossoms in Boston. Comet.
I don't think they're cherry. Are there cherry blossoms here?
There are some, yeah. Not a lot, but there's some.
I know DC has them.
Not as many, but I've seen there are some here.
The ones in DC were like gifted.
Right. There aren't a lot here, but there are definitely some. And I'm okay. saying.
All right.
I'm not saying.
I don't know where Comet's from.
I'm not saying Comet and Briscoe have been together ever since his Harvard times, but that doesn't mean they've never gone back. We don't know. They might have gone back.
Gotta go back.
Oh, okay. I just remembered there was a thing I had wanted to mention forever ago because you said you didn't trust Francis.
Yes, I thought that Francis was setting him up with like bear paw to get sod.
Interesting. That's not what I thought, but I also thought Francis had like a nefarious thing going on because, you know, she gives Bowler this ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
And then leaves to go try and help Briscoe. And when they come back, Bowler's like somehow every, as he puts it, desperado in the area must know that I have this money because they're chasing me down.
Is there a song called Desperado?
Yes,
or a movie?
By the Eagles. Oh. You most recently heard it in an episode of Taskmaster.
No, but I thought there was.
Oh, there's
like
a movie Desperado.
Enrique Iglesias Jr. song. I thought. No, I'm thinking. I think he says like he's gonna be your hero or something in it. But wasn't there like a '90s? Like movie he would have done that song to? I could be totally making this up. Wasn't Enrique Iglesias Jr. the name of that cat that was at the?
Yes.
I love that. I love that it was Jr.
Yes. Like there was a movie in the 90s called Desperado. There was an Eagle song called Desperado. I don't know if there's anything involving Enrique Iglesias, but there might be.
I don't know. I think it's just, I feel like I heard the song somewhere, not in Taskmaster.
I mean, Enrique Iglesias was in Once
was
Upon
in
a
Taskmaster?
No, was in Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which is the sequel to Desperado that you and I saw together the first time we ever hung out in person.
Huh. But that's not what I'm thinking.
I know. But I'm saying, like, I want to be clear, like, when I say that.
Well, that could be all conflated.
It could be, yeah.
I don't know what conflated means.
No, that's good. The correct word. That is the correct word for what you're saying. Anyway, but all I was saying is that I feel like when Boulder was like, I'm just being attacked left and right by, like, so many people because I've got this money, I was like, oh, she's doing some kind of, like, scheme where him getting robbed is part of it. She's in on this thing and like he's supposed to get robbed and we're gonna find out that she was doing some scheme. And then like, no, this is just more over the top silliness where it's like Bowler, which like actually becomes really funny when he gets into the town and he's just so tired and he's like, finally made it there. Mm-hmm. He gets off the horse and just a random guy jumps off of a roof and onto his shoulder and he just sort of shrugs him off and just like, because he's just like, I am done with this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I really liked how like that one random person jumps on him and he just kind of shrugs and falls off again. And it's like,
I don't remember. Oh, Bowler?
Bowler does, yeah. It's right before Ned Zedd comes out and punches him and takes the money.
I don't even remember that happening.
It was a very farcical sort of moment that, like,
all I remember is when they're trying to get away, mm-hmm. and then Ned has his little group.
Right.
And this is what I cannot understand. Mm-hmm. He can't ride. He's saying that the horses are too tired to hold him, so they're just, like, abandoning the horses? But mm-hmm. wouldn't you just, like, walk with the horses?
I think the thing is, like, when you're trying to, like, escape Briscoe and Comet, you don't walk. You're not getting away walking.
Well, he should have made a hoverboard.
Well, he's in the wrong part of Back to the Future.
I know.
Also, last week was when they did the thing where you go back to the future.
Ah! I really didn't understand what was happening during that scene when, because they didn't say too much weight, and I just didn't know what was happening. And also, it's funny, because this is like the third suit that we've seen in the show, because Wickwire has that scuba suit.
Uh-huh.
Bad guys are always trying to do a suit, a heavy mm-hmm. suit, and it's not working.
Yeah.
The last person that could wear a heavy suit was in Game of Thrones, and it was like Cersei's bodyguard, the Mountain.
Uh-huh.
And that's because he was like half a ghost. I mean, spoilers, maybe?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever. That's, yeah. like, an important...
It's not that important, what you just said. I will say, like... So, the thing is, like, though, that... The issue with the horse was actually set up earlier when he first gets into the suit. Because the blacksmith first tells him, like, you can take the helmet off, but you cannot get out of that suit without me cutting you out of it.
Yeah, I knew
and
that.
And then he's like, do I need anything else? He's like, stepladder and a strong horse.
Yeah.
Because what he's saying is, like, he's warning him, like, hey, you're heavy. Your horse better be pretty strong. So when later he's trying to, like, race away, like, this legitimately would be an issue if you got this big, heavy, that's, like, Iron Man suit, and you're trying to ride a horse wearing a suit that you built when you were being held hostage
then,
by terrorists.
Then he's, like, in a Ned gets on the bear traps.
Yeah. Which, again, is like, what are the chances they're going to end up on that road? And it's like, well, in these dime store novels, obviously you're going to end up back on that road. You had the setup of this road with all these bear traps. Obviously, someone's going to fall into them. Except you can't have somebody, like, lose a limb because of them on camera. So you have the guy in, like, the heavy suit fall into it.
LOL. Metal Gear.
Well, Ned, looks like you're trapped.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, when he falls into all the traps and he's stuck. He's like, well, Ned, looks like
you're trapped. He was already stuck because he did the whole thing and he, like, fell on his back like a pug.
Yeah, but then he was able to, like, get up and fight.
Like, he doesn't have turtle friends that can flip him over. Was he fighting with the things attached?
With the bear traps attached?
Yeah.
No, that's when he couldn't get up anymore. He had fallen down, and he's fighting, and then he falls onto the bear traps, and then he's stuck.
My memory of this entire episode is just, like, fell out.
Yeah, he falls down, and he pretends to be unconscious, and Briscoe's checking on him, and he's like, bap! And Briscoe dies because of this being punched in the face by this metal hand. Except, of course, he doesn't. It's totally fine. And then they're fighting... And then he falls into the bear traps, and that's when he can't get up anymore because he's got four bear traps stuck on him.
Right, and that makes you immobile.
Well, yeah, it would.
All right. Well, I also, one of my notes is Comet unlocked. But I meant like Comet unlocked the vault that they were in.
Uh-huh. But you're thinking more like a Food Network show, but not like he's food. I mean, like just one of those like lighthearted documentaries. It's like Comet unlocked. And he's just giving an interview.
No, I meant like you unlocked him for racing in your Mario Kart game or something. Yeah. You did really good on Rainbow Road, and you're like, yeah, now I can ride on Comet. Yeah, okay. Cruising.
That's you know what occurs to me? That's maybe the thing that makes more sense.
Oh, but you meant like, what's that show called? Uncooked? No.
Unwrapped?
What?
Unwrapped?
Unwrapped.
Yeah. But I was thinking more like a behind the music kind of thing. It's Comet Unlocked.
Behind the music with Comet?
Yeah, not about music, but you know, it's Comet Unlocked.
Okay.
Just like, you know, the just true chilling. Comet.
The true Comet.
Yeah. The true story.
Haley!
My mind went a lot of ways that, like, yours is much more straightforward than where my brain just went with Comet Unlocked. It's just like, yeah, okay. That makes way more sense than anything I was
You mean
Take
when
it.
I just shouted about Haley's comment just
that
now?
Also, that made total sense to me. That's perfectly normal.
Totally. That's normal. That's the normal thing. I don't understand. Is Francis here just like about people in suits? I don't understand what this character is like.
I feel like this character... Okay, if we continue to try to view this episode in it being like
it
the Dime Store novel
the
reality.
Top. Okay.
If we assume reality is Briscoe smooching a new lady every couple of weeks, she's essentially the even more unimportant, empty version of that trope.
She's not empty, she's going to West Point.
No, okay. She dated a guy.
No, okay. She's not. She already graduated.
In a way, sure.
I guess.
It's just like, she feels like, we see all these sort of one episode long empty romance things, and she's the like.
Okay, but Frances still exists as a West Point. You know, a West Point fan, a West Point stan. Are they like children there? Is that
like
high school?
No. That's like a college. It's like a military focused college, kind of like post high school. It's for training officers. Like the elite officers come out of West Point.
Hi. You might know me from such roles as Elite Officer One.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know that Francis as a person exists in the world, real world of this show.
A lady for Briscoe to kiss.
In this novel.
Okay. Okay.
Because she represents the idea of the women that Briscoe.
I also like the idea that Bowler needs, like, a friend to ride with to keep him safe.
Right. Well, because he's a faithful companion. Again, within the novels, he's the faithful companion.
Within history, he's the faithful companion.
History
Aunt
is just
Karina says that.
I'm saying history is the parts of the past someone wrote down.
History is what we remember.
Yeah. And the way we remember it is by writing it down.
In these bad novels.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Write good novels.
So Karina's history books might be the Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. novels.
Are there any about the orb?
there might, it's possible there will be.
Okay. This episode didn't have enough Bowler in it.
Uh-huh.
But the parts with Bowler were great. And then the mm-hmm. parts with Comet were great.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay, I do need to, okay, I need to remember to tell you, there's a thing I need to tell you about.
Is there more that we should talk about? I did like the bear traps, and then I mm-hmm. did think it was weird how we have, sorry, I'm like punching the microphone. We have these back-to-back episodes with the French characters.
Yeah. That was interesting. Especially because one of them was at least actually speaking French. And is the actor's from Montreal. He might at least know French. And mm-hmm. then you have Frenchie Bearpaw, who's just like, yes, I am French. I'm Frenchie. And there's an X in my name. It's Bearpaw with an X. So I am French.
But wasn't he part of John Bly's gang, too?
No, he just also, he was a criminal that Briscoe Sr. went after. And he lost his hand.
But he's not so criminal now, right? He's, like, trapping?
He's getting furs and stuff? Yeah, he's... I mean, is he a criminal now? He's not doing... I don't think he's doing crimes now until he... Except, you know, a kidnapping and attempted murder, which is crimes. But...
Okay,
I don't think... Until Briscoe shows up, I don't think he's actively criming.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean he isn't... a criminal?
Right.
Because he's still an outlaw that didn't get arrested. He just lost his hand in this bear trap.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Is that not penance?
I'm not saying it's not.
Okay, that penance is not the right word. That's
right.
That's a definitely like a religious
yeah.
way, which is not the same as...
Right. But the idea
is it? We don't have enough time to get into
that. Yeah, that is a complicated philosophical idea, but I get what you're saying. Like, that is a price, which doesn't mean that, like, the law would think that.
I also think, like, this idea of going after someone who's the son of, like, the father that, like, I guess that is also a Princess Bride thing.
Is it?
Because you're the, like, son of the person. What's that thing? What's a quote? What's a quote from Princess Bride?
Oh, well, that's... The thing is, he's going after the person who actually killed his father. He's not going after the son of the guy who hurt him.
Okay, but this is totally just the Princess Bride.
Yeah, I mean, it's
still an age... Because didn't he lose his arm? Didn't he lose his hand?
No.
Someone lose a hand in Princess Bride?
No, in fact, he had extra hand because he had six fingers on one hand.
That's not an extra hand.
I'm not saying he had an extra hand. I'm saying he had extra hand.
Okay, well.
He had more hand than most.
So did Frenchie.
Fair. Okay. I want to read you this trivia thing that I found about this episode.
Okay.
Because this is. An incredible little bit of trivia that I love. Ned Zedd is based on the 19th century Australian outlaw Ned Kelly. He was famous for building himself and his bunch armors for being immune against bullets. At the end, he got shot several times in his legs because the armor only covered his head and upper body.
Oh no!
It's just like,
oh no,
this is the same problem I always have with like with Captain America and like, you know, Wonder Woman, where
Wonder Woman can use like those bracers
I think those bracers are like magnetic, so I guess I'll let that go, but like Captain America just has a circular shield that covers a portion of his torso. Like, it would be extremely easy.
But he's fast.
But he isn't ever moving it. He's just holding it in... People shoot at his shield, and he blocked it.
And then he moves it.
Except if any of them just pointed down, there are many situations if one of them pointed
down.
He would
roll out of the way. He would dodge. He would do a Dark Souls. He would do dodge roll out of the way.
I'm saying he doesn't.
Can he fly?
No.
He jump.
He's just a strong man with a shield.
He's a strong man?
He's a very strong...
He's like on the 1910s boardwalk, just like lifting up the...
Kinda. That's a lot
he's
of his
He's not nearly
stuff.
Triangle enough.
Oh, I could show you some pictures. More triangle than any... Some draw... Like...
I'll show you some drawings that I made.
Not
Captain
me.
America.
Rob Liefeld, I think is how you say his name. Anyway, I'm just saying... A lot of the times, he's holding his shield in a way that it's like, someone in this scene should just shoot him in the foot. And then they win.
As we know from every movie ever, it is hard to shoot correctly.
Fair.
At feet. Or parts.
I'm just saying, as we have just learned...
Unless it's written into the script, it's impossible to aim.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will avoid the bear traps unless you're supposed to fall into the bear traps.
Fair. I'm just saying, as we've learned from history, people will just shoot you in the legs.
It is kind of sad.
I mean,
I know he's a criminal, but like, one, he had a bunch, and then... The very thing he built just...
You have to admit, it's a little funny.
No, it's not funny. Someone died.
Conceptually.
It's ironic.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I'll give you it's ironic, because okay. That actually is ironic.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the thing. In this, at least they gave him also metal legs.
Yeah, but then he was too heavy.
Yeah, that's true.
He was a heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
But not one.
Yeah, this is why.
I mean,
you don't go into war wearing suits of armor anymore.
The only bad guy I ever root for in Briscoe County is obviously John Bly.
Mm-hmm.
But not for real.
Yeah, you don't want him to win. You
no.
just want to have fun watching.
Yeah, I just like his screams and mm-hmm. his gestures and. Mm-hmm. I mean,
miss a dramatic arm,
like judo chops and punches to the back, and
I like that you said it that way because of the fact that in the last episode when we had to rewatch it because we hadn't watched it in weeks, we realized that what we both thought was a judo chop was actually a punch with a judo chop sort of like follow through.
Okay. One, I want to say 100% I don't know what an actual judo chop is. And
right.
The only reason we started even saying that is because of some convoluted reason.
Right. What I mean is like that sort of generic idea of like the straight hand, like karate chop, whatever thing that you see people who probably don't do martial arts. Do a lot of times.
Yeah,
where they're
we
just
know
like, this
nothing
is what,
about martial arts.
This is what karate do. Like, and
we're over here doing those crane kicks.
Right. So yeah, when we say judo chop, that's kind of what we're talking about. Is this sort of it's more of a joke about people not doing martial arts right, just doing like this is a chop, and they fall down right away.
Yep.
But there was just sort of something really weird about the fact that in that last episode, he punched someone in the back, but then opened his hand into that straight sort of chop motion for pulling it back away from the guy.
Well, that's just normal fight choreo.
Right. Perfectly normal.
That's what I learned from my fight club. Where we learn how to fight theatrically. It's not real fighting. That's why I can talk about it.
Oh, okay.
First rule of our fight club is to talk about it because...
Share it on social media so we can get additional people.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe.
No, what? No.
No?
No.
Don't like and subscribe
to Fight Club. Oh, like and subscribe to this podcast.
Right.
Please leave us a review if you like it. So apparently it shows more people that you might like our podcast.
Yes. Or you could just literally show people that by tweeting,
hey, I like this podcast.
And tagging, you know, Diff Direction Pod on Twitter. You can also email us differentdirection@tgiafrica.com.
Just say, hey, I like you. It'd really make our day. We like you too. Thanks for listening.
We do like you too.
Do we have more to say?
I think I'm done with. I think I'm done on this episode. I don't think I have anything more to say on this one.
Okay, so we've gone to A to Z on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Z. Mm-hmm. Is that how, like, you do snores in other countries?
Yeah.
You fall asleep?
What?
Okay. Welcome back.
Yeah, what happened?
We're in the future. We're in the Reign of Terror.
Oh no! I was in! I don't know. Anyway, okay, you said no, nothing else to say, so I'll do my sign off.
Don't forget to look for bear traps. That could just be out there. Trapping.
That's very true.
Watch your legs.
Protect your neck.
Have a sturdy horse.
Thank you for that. And with that, this has been episode 21 of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Ned Zed. And this is TGIF Arcade saying, till next week, we'll be waiting for you, Brisk.
A Different Direction is a TGIF Arcade production. You can contact the podcast at diffdirectionpod on Twitter or email us at differentdirection@tgifarcade.com. You can also find information about everything that TGIF Arcade produces by following us at TGIF Arcade on Twitter. Thanks for listening.